I'm the real LL Cool J.
I might go viral.
Now, back to Steinie and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I would love a 30, the 30 for 30 on Spadoni and Evan and guys that do their, what would, how do they find it? How do they know they're going to, when did I say LL Cool J?
Spadoni looks like he woke up at like at 2 o'clock in the morning right now.
Yeah, Spadoni's black.
Do you want to expand on that?
Well, he just, he looks like he's just, you know, his hair is all messed up. He looks like he's been up all night.
Well, Spadoni, I'll let you respond.
Well, he does do the morning show.
I do get here at 4 in the morning.
Spadoni, yes. What time do you get out of the rack?
I get here at the station around 4:30 every morning.
Look at you.
You know he has his 5 o'clock show every day, Larry, so he's up.
I do have the, to his point, I have these dark circles under my eyes, but those are genetic. I cannot get rid of those.
I'm being real. I would tell you if you had them. You don't got the Van Gundy thing.
No, I do. No, there's something I inherited from my, it runs in my family. I do. So I've been getting it since I've been in high school. Spadoni looked tired. I actually slept 9 hours last night. It's fun.
You don't got bad head to me.
Maybe you got sleep apnea. Maybe you're not sleeping. Maybe you're not getting that deep, restful sleep that your body needs to heal itself.
That voice you hear is the great Larry Kruger rocking with me on a Friday. We're talking Giants. We will have Matt Barrels at 1 o'clock. He covers the Niners for the Athletic, and we'll get into what you saw from minicamp and also this, the new deal for McCaffrey, and also Brandon Ayuk, man. I'm a die on that hill that this is not good. And that's just me. My guy Guru did just say my knee key. They gonna fire you on the legals. Hey, I tried. But Larry, man, I mean, again, if you had Giant fans walk in here right now and you were Dr. Phil, and we'll get your Dr. Phil.
You're a disgusting fat pig, and you need to push away from the table.
There you go. Dr. Phil, I need to feel good. What can you tell me about the Giants that would make me feel better?
They can't hit, all right? They can't. They're a disgusting fat team that can't hit.
I just don't know what you guys want, man. I'm preaching patience. That's all you can do.
What I want is I want to be entertained. I want to be entertained.
Watch the Yankees.
I like Matos. I like Ramos. I liked Luciano. I was more entertained. I watched more games. I will watch less with, you know, with the Slaters and the Yazzes. It's just this, it's like, if you play Moses Moody, there's a chance that you're going to be, he'll be better tomorrow. If you play Jonathan Kuminga, there's a chance he'll be better tomorrow.
But they had their, I'm going Maggie Seaver, their growing pains with that. They were not doing that. And I was yelling, and a lot of Dub Nation was doing it. And Kerr, for whatever, they figured it out.
They eventually started playing those guys.
Yeah.
And it paid off.
But yeah.
But I mean, that's what I want to see from the Giants. I don't want to see Slater. I know what Slater can do. Slater's been up for years. Slater is going to hit left-handed pitching well. He's not going to hit right-handed pitching at all. He's a totally mediocre center fielder with a mediocre arm. And he's played in the big league since 2017. It's now 2024.
I get it. I'm tired.
He's never had 15 home runs. He's never stolen 15 bags. He's just a guy. He's not you. He's not me. He's just a guy.
Do you think it was Bo Mel or a Farhan move in regard to sending Matos down?
They probably agreed upon it. I mean, it's, I understand. It's like, I understand they've got money invested in Slater. Matos has hit a snag. They don't want to sit him on the bench, but they want to slow down his role so he doesn't bury himself. I get it, but I'm just not in favor of it. I'm in favor of you're going nowhere. You've got 3 or 4 young homegrown players that you've produced in your farm system, go with them.
Well, come on, Larry. Let's get real quick here.
Go with your young guys.
In regard to Luciano, that thing has been, shout out Shasky, they butchered that.
But
this,
I mean,
dude doesn't even have a position now. They can't.
Okay, but what's your alternative?
Nick Ahmed.
Brett Wisely and Nick Ahmed.
And Casey Schmidt.
Those guys are donkeys.
Well,
I want to, seriously, get somebody in there who can play. Ahmed can't hit at all. Wisely's a minor leaguer.
These guys are hot. Wisely's been Rod Carew's the last 3 weeks. I mean, I hear
your future is tied
everything
to
you're
Luciano.
Saying. They're doing the exact opposite, though. And
because you know why? Because their Farhan knows that if they don't win at a certain clip, that he's gone.
I don't believe that. I don't believe he's gone. I believe That was, I'm telling you, man.
Gabe wasn't gone either, until all of a sudden he was.
He had a Pessoa problem in the clubhouse. He couldn't even stop dudes from playing poker at the right time.
But, I mean, there was no talk of him leaving until about 10 days before the end of the regular season. Then suddenly it was like, well, Kapler might be out. And then Kapler was out. So just because right now Greg Johnson is like, hey, I think the world of Farhan, doesn't mean that when there's empty seats for months and the team's out of contention.
Well, they're ninth in attendance. Last I checked, ninth in attendance, the Giants.
Yeah, because they spent a lot of money in the offseason, and a lot of Giants fans are really excited. But are they excited now as the team can't hit?
Well, you got 99 games left, Larry. You know this.
And you're going to lose.
It could get worse. I don't think it will.
Yeah.
But if you get healthy, you got a long way to go before, you know, we just say it didn't work. Because right now, you know, nobody's feeling it, but Exhibit A again is Austin Slater. Like, damn, man, that is so stale and boring. Matos, Spadoni's reminding me of Eric Davis, you know, getting to those inside fastballs, a young Eric Davis. And then he even, through his interpreter, Matos said they quit throwing me fastballs. Now you got to make an adjustment to the adjustment. It happens.
Yeah,
but for them to say night, night, go back to sack. And FP was in here yesterday. I don't know if you heard Larry. You were probably at camp, but he was talking about the psyche of Matos. I didn't want to hear it. Like, I get he's distraught. It hurt him to go back, but the Giants got games to win. We can't worry about Matos. And he did say, to be fair, paraphrasing FP, he wondered how the other Latin guys on the team took that, you know, Matos going down. I'm like, well, if you got guys not going to, almost like Wiggins with Poole, we don't really know if anything's there, or that's why he's just, nobody's been home and we haven't got the great Andrew Wiggins. But I'm like, if guys are mad that their guy got sent back down to Sacramento and not worried about what they got to do, then you weren't going to do anything anyway.
I just can't stand the constant shuffling. We'll go with this guy for 10 days. We'll go with that guy for 10 days. It's like, show some belief in your young guys. Don't listen to me. Listen to Will Clark. Will Clark's like, you know what? I didn't like that move.
I couldn't believe that.
I didn't like sending out Matos. I believe you got to stick with your young guys. I agree with Will Clark. Stick with your young guys. You have so few legitimate young prospects coming out of your system that when you do have a legitimate guy like a Matos, like a Ramos.
What about Eldridge? So you're saying
roll with him.
If he could get you Alonzo and be a part of the package, you would do that in a second.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know how many, Jesse Foppert was on the cover of Baseball America. He was supposedly going to be Roger Clemens, except he wasn't. And Jerome Williams was going to be a badass, but he wasn't. And Kurt Ainsworth was going to be amazing, but he wasn't. And Gary Brown was going to be incredible, but he wasn't.
Those are called prospects, Larry.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So it's illogical to look at 35 years of Giants failed prospects and sit there and go, we can't move Eldridge. I mean, it makes no sense. History says that your prospects crap out at a very high rate. Eldridge is now having a very good year in San Jose. But the Cal League goo is so far away from the majors. I mean, you got to show that you can do it in Double A, in the Eastern League. Then you got to show you can do it in Triple A. Then you got to show that you can do it in the majors. I mean, Eldridge may wind up being a good Giant, and maybe you wind up being a great Giant. But it's going to be 2027 before that happens. And the way I look at it is, you know what? If you could get a young controllable asset like a Vladdy or Luis Robert or, you know, going after a polar bear. I mean, imagine what kind of juice adding a bat like Vladdy or polar bear or Robert would do to the Giant fan base. There'd be all kinds of people walking around wearing Vladdy Jr. jerseys, and there'd be all kinds of polar bear jerseys, and people would be going crazy. The Giants have enough money. They should trade for polar bear and then sign him and do a preventative strike. Don't even let him get to free agency. Overpay. And then have him be the centerpiece of your lineup. Put him at first base.
Yeah, don't stop there, because I love everything you said, but they tried to do that with Aaron Judge. And at the end of the day, somebody has to close a effing deal.
But he had options, and also he was the toast of Manhattan, and you're asking him to pass all that up to come play for the Giants on the West Coast.
Well, see, now you're naked. Now you're
totally naked in their lineup.
No, Larry, you're making excuses.
No, I'm just saying.
He was here. He was on the soil here in the Bay, and nobody can. Everybody's going to front lie. But you will give me meet me halfway, Larry. There was a chance You went to bed. I think you even tweeted. You said something. Tell me if I'm wrong. You did. I'm pointing at you. You did. You tweeted something about you had sources. The judge might be coming here.
I had a guy at a little league game.
Yeah, I remember
who
that.
For the Giants who told me the judge was going to come here. But at the end of the day, I mean, it had to be when you're the, if you're the toast of New York City and you can go to any bar, any restaurant in Manhattan and you're just eating and drinking
that.
For free.
I get all that.
That is so prime time. Why you would ever leave such a prime time spot?
This is his
to
home.
Come prop,
yeah, I hear you.
Prop up the Giants and be naked in their lineup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. I mean,
but it got traction and you tweeted that you were hearing.
He was just going to set the Barry Bonds. He was going to approach the Barry Bonds intentional walk record here.
Right. No doubt.
So he didn't want to do that. But see, that wasn't realistic. And getting Ohtani to choose you instead of the Dodgers, probably not realistic.
But the unrealistic part of it to me is the guy trying to convince them to come here is unrealistic. That's when you have to identify you don't have the right guy in the position to close a deal and sway Larry Kruger to come to San Francisco.
I agree.
It's on repeat. And that's why I'm like, what does this guy not have to do to get fired? He can't close a deal. And I'm with you. I thought, you know what, Judge is not going to. Then it picked up traction. And I remember your tweet. You were like, I'm hearing he might come. It might happen. So it's happening over and over, but you're picking and choosing when you, Alonzo, he's got to put something together. I'm talking about Farhan to make it happen. And I want to pull my hair out. Like, when are we going to realize he can't do it. He can't close. Put the coffee down.
Trading is not closing. Trading is trading. Trading is I've got
still
an asset
getting
that you
something
want.
Done and changing the identity of your team.
I'm not going to be put in this position to defend Farhan Zaidi. I think he's been pretty forgettable, to be completely honest. But the Giants can't keep doing the same play and doing the same thing to their fans. They can't fall. They can't fall short and then spend all of September talking about the attractive free agent market and then go out there and get nothing.
It's like Boys to Men. We're at the end of the road. I'm with you.
You cannot do that anymore. I mean, think about it. Think about it this way. What's the Giants need a hitter? They need a middle of the order presence.
I'm gonna put an ass on that. They need hitters.
Well, they need hitters.
Okay.
But they need a middle of the order presence more than anything because they don't have that. All right. What's the best approach to trade for somebody and pull a surprise sneak attack and trade Bryce Eldridge and the future that may exist with him in 2 years and add this guy in July at the trade deadline? Or get your fans all hot and bothered again for like the fourth year in a row and then strike out in an effort to go sign the polar bear to make him leave New York City? It's just to the free agent route. It's fine because I'd rather go that route than trade prospects because prospects have value. Why? I'd rather hoard my prospects and just go sign free agents. But the Giants can't attract free agents. So probably the better route to go is trade for a guy that has some contractual years of team control and then get him in house and then put the full court press on him when he's in house, offering him tons to get him to sign long term.
Yeah.
Once he's already there, once he's already getting a chance to see the beauty of the ballpark, the beauty of the region.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest.
Talk to him.
This is an expensive place to live. You're from here. I'm from here. We live here. Why do we live here? We're not idiots. This is a great place to live.
Mm-hmm.
We have a great climate. There's the Bay Area is fantastic.
Yeah.
Tahoe's a hop, skip, and a jump away. LA's not that far away. San Diego, California's nice. The weather's absolutely amazing. So there's good reasons to live here. So trade for somebody while they're here. Wine them and dine them and get them to sign. But this let's lead our fan base through some Scott Boras exercise to run up the market price on some free agent that had never had any indication of signing here because he's worried about his next contract. We've seen this movie.
Yeah. Five times. We can go back to Harper, whoever you want to insert in there.
I personally could not take another failed big name free agent run. And I know Giants fans everywhere are like me. They don't want that either. They want that big bat, but they don't want to have to go through that free agency? Do they want us? Do they the not? Whole,
yeah. And to come up with nothing again and just be demoralized is like getting left at the altar.
It's bad. What happens is it's high profile, bad PR for the franchise. And every time they're like, we got to get a free agent. And every time they strike out, it's just a reminder to every other free agent and everybody throughout the industry, San Francisco is not the place to go right now. And why would you want to have that commercial out there on repeat mode when you could go trade a Bryce Eldridge in July and maybe get that player that you seek and avoid the whole free agent thing altogether?
Yeah. And you brought it up. Chris Bryant was if you told me a Farhan report card of bringing something to the team while they were trying to go for something, I mean, that how much dust is on that, you know?
At least he was smart enough to not sign him as a free agent.
No doubt about it.
What a tire fire Bryant's been.
Yeah, he's done. And the 925 goes, Goo, San Francisco isn't his home. He's from Linden, which is a good distance away and much different than being from the city. My point was this was his home team that he said just the other night, Aaron Judge, when he was in town. This was his team growing up.
I just don't.
And we
think...
had Willard and Dibbs doing shows in Linden because we were all falling for the banana in the tailpipe, thinking, you know, Farhan and company and Johnson, they might be putting what you just mentioned, the full court press on them, and get them to sign here and leave New York. I never,
I worked for Mad Dog Radio in Manhattan for a little bit over a year.
I love it.
And they in Dog, you know, Dog. Yeah. Chris Russo, it's his channel. And he flew me out to New York and sort of wined me and dined me in Manhattan before I signed
there. Steak dinner.
Right. And I'm thinking to myself, that was impressive. And that was for freaking me. For Aaron Judge, something tells me that they probably took him to some nicer spots. And he probably was courted pretty nicely. And he probably has a pretty good little thing going in New York where every time he walks into a bar or restaurant, people are like, you know, all hail, all rise.
I get the Derek Jeter treatment. He's a god. Yeah.
And so what, he's leaving that to come here so he can what? Walk down Hate Street and have a burrito? I mean, come on. It's just not, it was never happening.
Yeah, I feel you on that, but the bottom line is just to come win baseball. Just to come be the face of the franchise, which he was, and he still is in New York. And now I'm looking at Soto, and he's like a kid in a candy store. He didn't found heaven. You know? And to be in that order, seeing those pitches, even though he had to let the game yesterday with some forearm tightness, Soto. So hopefully nothing seriously going on. I mean, he's incredible.
Let's not talk about it.
All right. I won't. But I'm just, again, I don't know what you do.
I mean, that's kind of like.
Just don't get swept tonight, this weekend against Texas.
What's more ridiculous? Talking about the Giants getting Soto or talking about the Warriors pairing Giannis with Steph?
I don't think that's. Like, there's something going on with Milwaukee. I'm a leader.
Oh, you think Giannis is coming?
I would say the first thing you said in regard to the Giants, at least the Warriors have some skins on the wall in regard to bringing Durant in and things of that nature. So,
and maybe Steph Curry's having a conversation with
Giannis. We'll get into the Warriors because you had something you had saw watching the NBA playoffs last night that you want to discuss a little Warrior angle. Again, at 1 o'clock, we got Matt Barrows. We'll talk everything 49ers with him. He covers the Niners for The Athletic. But damn, Larry, this is kind of depressing. I don't want it to be, but it's still early. But 30 and 33 is not what I had in mind. And you said something just a couple minutes ago that still bothers me. They don't have a middle of the Giants, a middle of the order guy. What is Jorge Soler? What did he symbolize to you when they announced that signing?
I mean, I was super excited about the signing. He's just a streaky. He's a streaky guy. Who, you know, runs hot and cold, and he's gotten off to a cold start. But don't, you know, he also gets unbelievably hot. This guy wasn't this guy the World Series or NLCS MVP a couple years ago?
It was a while ago.
Hitting out of the leadoff spot in Atlanta.
World Series, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jorge Soler is, you know, I think he's going to really get hot when the weather warms up. And you're already starting to see it. But yeah, there's a ton of swing and miss there. There's a ton of strikeouts there. There's a lot of empty outs with Jorge Soler. So I mean, there's also a reason that he's been on so many teams. There's a reason that he's not making, you know, ridiculous buco bucks is because there's some flaws in his game. But Jorge Soler is the least of their problems, to be completely honest.
But if I asked you right now who leads, and you probably know, but we'll have some fun, who leads the Giants in homers?
Who leads the Giants and homers?
I heard that since Stani left.
Chapman.
Oh, you got it with eight.
Yeah.
How about batting average?
Lamont Wade. Does that not count?
It's him. But he's out. Second was Estrada at 250.
Yeah, what's the Lamont? Yeah. What's late night Lamont?
He was hitting .300. Give me 1 second.
What's his on base? I mean,
420 when he left and he was leading the major league.
Yeah, 420 on base.
So they missing him. That's, so why aren't we just taking a step back?
420 on base. That's high.
He's a damn good hitter, man.
Do you like that, Evan? How I drew the 420? That's high.
Yeah, and he played the. Icky.
I heard the bong. I heard the bong in the background.
Man, I just thinking about Lamont Wade Jr., man, 129 at bats.
He's been a great story.
And he's up there with two strikes. He still has a great approach. I remember the Pittsburgh game, the Mets, he's up there, gets the base hit to right field.
The guy swings
to tie the game or give him the lead. It's like, damn, man, I was ready to get off of him. I had him lumped in with Yaz.
Yeah, I did.
And again, nothing's wrong with Yaz. He just ain't the big bopper that Giant fans have not had here since Barry Bonds, man.
Yeah, I mean,
That's what this is really about. They are vanilla, the Giants, on a good day. And it's all dependent when you sit down on your derriere and you watch the Giants, what means something to you? What means something to Evan? Is it star power? And if you got the stars and they're not winning, you still had a good experience because you know you're watching top-tier talent and it'll eventually happen. But when you're just watching boredom or dead men walking, that's what's kind of just like, brother. And that's what it's been under Farhan.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I need to see one of two things. I want to see offense.
Ah.
I want to see doubles, triples, home runs. I want to see offense.
You missed the Yankee series.
That's one.
Yeah.
Two, I want to watch guys that I'm going to be investing in. So take your Kevin Padlos and your Stewie Fairchilds and all these guys who are just passing through and get the hell out of here. I don't want the guys passing through.
Now, where are you at on Yaz? Where does he fall on your rate?
Where am I at on Yaz?
Yeah.
I drive him to the airport tomorrow. I'm out on Yaz.
Don't speed, Larry.
I mean, what the heck? I mean, Yaz stinks. What's there to like about Yaz? I mean, he swings and misses a ton.
With the best of them.
He was a career minor leaguer. He was 28-year-old rookie. He's had a couple of nice years. He's had 3 years in a row. He's hitting 220 or less.
He's 214 right now. It does feel like.
What did he hit last year?
What
does this guy need to do to lose his gig?
Yeah. And that, I think, is at the crux of the problem, man. It's just, you would rather see Matos or a guy like Luciano do 214 and kind of struggle knowing they're growing up. They're going through their puberty. You know?
I'd rather see Hunter Bishop hit 205 than watch Yaz hit 220. Yeah.
I just look at that lineup card and I never just, like, you couldn't fry bacon with the Giants lineup card because there's no sizzle, man. There's none.
Look at that outfield. They had a horrible outfield last year. Horrible.
Yeah.
What did they do to it? They brought back Slater, brought back Yaz.
Well, they went and got a center fielder.
And signed Jung Hoo.
Yeah.
They gave $113 million to Jung Hoo. He hit 262 and has a second dislocation of his shoulder. So his future is very much in doubt because that's a major injury. That's not a small injury.
Yeah.
That's a 6 month, 7 month.
That's the second time he's wrecked that shoulder.
Right.
So that's kind of scary.
He's got, you know, but I'll say this about Jung Hoo. Very impressed as far as the way he played center field. The guy played center field like a pro. I mean, he was awesome in center field. And he has way more bat speed than I thought he had.
Yeah.
I thought he'd just get blown away.
It stinks that he got hurt. Now, we know injuries suck.
But he hits the ball hard on the ground, and he hits the ball in the same spots, and he hits the ball into the shift, and, you know, and he hit 260.
Larry, we're going to pay some bills.
And you paid him $19 million.
And get your thoughts. You were at camp. We got Matt Barros at 1 o'clock. He covers the Niners for The Athletic. I want to get your thoughts on what you saw with camp. We'll do that on the other side. Download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal first-class money market today. Plus, it's the final day to qualify to win an autographed Steph Curry jersey at 12:30, all on 95.7 The Game.
I'm a Pirate fan. You gotta have more hope than that.
Now back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Yes, yes, no Steiny. Larry Kruger in for Steiny, holding it down on a payday Friday, which started for your boy with the ticket in the slow lane. And I just wish I could just write an email. Maybe I will, or a letter to CHP. How can you, that's like an oxymoron. How can you give somebody a ticket in the slow lane for speeding? That's a bad beat.
Did you get verbal and angry?
No, I didn't go angry black man on him.
Did you jump out of the car and start throwing hands?
No, I didn't do any of that. I wanted to get to you. I wanted to live, Larry. But damn, man, that's a hell of a way to start the morning, man.
That is seriously.
It's all good. I got a job. I'm chopping it up with you. We'll table the John talk now. We'll talk about what we saw last night.
You didn't drop a, do you know who I am though, right? You didn't drop one of those.
Spadoni knows this because he's my brother. When I do get pulled over, and I've gotten out of a few jams,
right,
I'll have my credential on the other seat.
Yeah.
That's empty. And then I'll say, you know, I got a show to do. And then the guru, Daryl, what show? And then I tell the station, I've gotten off a few times.
Look at you.
Now
see,
I'm paying the piper, Larry.
I am the system of the show.
Oh, man.
So did you go that?
I didn't do it. This dude looked like he didn't care if I was Dr. Phil or Rush. He didn't care.
You didn't drop the, I'm kind of a big deal.
No, he asked me a question that threw me off. He said, hey, and he looked, Larry, real quick. He asked me the question as if I would have said yes, because I always have something on the tip of the tongue. Had I said yes, he might have let, he goes, were you going with the flow of traffic? And that, I've never had it, you know, the conversation start like that, so I was baffled.
So what'd you say? The good answer to that is, yes, I was. Thank you, officer.
That's why I'm mad. I go, I was looking at my thing, I was going 70. And then he was like, no, you weren't. I got you. I won't tell you how fast I was going. And that kind of turned him off. So, Spadoni, I felt like if I would have answered his question and said, yes, officer, I thought I was going with, he would have been like, you know what, I'm going to let you go, goo.
It is sad, but it's true.
Yeah, Robin.
So my buddy, I had a buddy in high school.
Damn
right?
It!
His dad was an executive for one of the garbage companies.
Okay, right? Tony Soprano.
And so he was like tied in, and he's like, I've got some kind of designation on my license.
Oh,
so we're going to a Giants game, and he's speeding, and we're just going on the freeway. And the guy pulls him over. He's like, excuse me, sir, can I see your driver's license?
No way, Larry.
And the guy goes, okay. And he pulls out the driver's license. I think, oh, man, your dad's in trouble. And he goes, sir, do you know how many cars you've passed in the last 500 yards? Do you know how many cars you've passed in the last half mile? Do you realize you've passed probably 250 cars in the last mile and a half? And he's like, I didn't know that, sir. And he's like, all right, let me see your license and registrations. All right, produce it. So he gives him the license and registration. And my buddy's like, yeah, my dad's got this thing on his license that gives him kind of, he's kind
it's
of
like secret society.
It's like, he's going to get away. Watch this. So the guy had already given him kind of a lecture. Do you know how many cars you had passed? He comes back to, goes back to his thing, runs the digits and whatever. He comes back and he's like, Gene, I'm going to give you a warning this time.
Oh, man.
I'm going to give you a warning, but man, you better slow it down. Rolling through here.
Forget Tupac. That's what you call juice, Larry. Seriously. Yeah, boy.
I was like, man, I got to get one of those little designations on my license.
I'll tell you who wasn't speeding. That was the Dallas Mavericks last night. That first quarter that Boston put on them with that wave of three-pointers. I don't know if you remember the Sunday Boston game where the Warriors were on the road. It was on ABC, nationally televised game. Remember that? It was just a debacle. The Warriors were done. I believe Draymond, they didn't even come out for the second half. They were on the bench, I believe. That's what this had the element of, Spadoni, but Dallas Mavericks cut it to what, six or eight points, and I was like, oh, we got a game, but
then it was a 14-0 run at
man,
that point.
And poor Zingas, who saw that?
Oh, the zinger. He looked great.
Can he keep it up though, Larry?
Well, I mean, why not? He's he hadn't played in over a month,
man.
I didn't realize.
Shout
out
to the Boston Celtics training staff.
11 points in the first quarter, 18 in the first half. You know, Porzingis, three key block shots. And he can, I mean, you're talking about a 7'3 guy who can shoot from well beyond the arc.
No doubt.
So he looked good. I mean, Boston just looking good right now.
They had seven. Listen, Larry, this was NBA Finals record. Seven guys with two or more 3-pointers. So Boston has more weaponry offensively than Dallas. It's Kyrie and Luka. And that didn't work last night. And Kyrie Irving, let's put the right on the table. He was, not to me, because he didn't have to do it, rebuilding his image. Oh, he's one of the most skilled, and all that was good. But I don't want to say he was shook. He was sped up last night, and a lot of that goes to Holiday and his defensive prowess, but they need a better Kyrie Irving if they're going to do anything game two Sunday. But they hunted Luka. They made him work. And even as much as Boston made Luka work, he had 30. But Gafford and Jones Jr., they did nothing. P.J. Washington, they did nothing. So we'll see what happens. But I'm looking at you dead straight in the eye, and I believe Boston is the more talented team, and that's why they were favored. They had the better regular season.
By 14 games.
Yeah, no doubt. But Tatum and Brown were pedestrian. They didn't have bad games, but it wasn't like NBA Finals. You know, Tatum looked like he was dealing with some fluster stuff, but I was shocked at the end of the day, especially with a 10-day rest, Larry, that Dallas would come out and not score 100 points.
It seemed like Dallas, it seemed like Kyrie was bothered by the length of the weak side defenders. It seemed like he had more than a couple
Porzingis
of shots.
Porzingis blocked him.
Blocked from the weak side defender who came over. So the length of Boston, I think, bothered Kyrie a little bit. I will say this, though. If you look at Dallas, I mean, Dallas only, they beat Minnesota in game one, but they lost to the Clippers in game one. I believe they lost that other series in game one. They lost
came
game
back
one,
and won
they
game
came,
two.
They came back and won game two. So we'll see what Dallas can bounce back with. But, the bottom line is Luka's not a good defender, and Irving's not a good defender. So you have two back guys in the backcourt that are awesome finishers. If Dallas gets Boston to the 5-minute mark in like a 5-point game, they got them right where they want.
All right, no doubt. Closer but, Central.
Yeah, because they've got Kyrie and they've got Luka.
But can you get there is what you're
but
talking
can you
about.
Get there? Can you get there? And I don't think they can. I think this is just probably Boston was 14 games better than them. They're quite a bit better than this Dallas team.
And Dallas was 7 of 27 from deep. That equated to 26%. That's not going to get it done. But you're right. When you talk about Tatum, you talk about Holiday, White, Brown, those guys can be the best. Porzingis, those are five different guys that on any given night can be the best player on the court for Boston. And I just feel like now Dallas is, and it's one game. I'm not overreacting, Larry, but it was apparent to me that J-Kid's going to have to see what Hardaway Jr. can do or muster just to give him some shot in the arm offensively, because you're right. Kyrie was trying to shake and bake. I saw Kyrie Irving hit the side of the backboard a couple times. Hey, he had a couple air balls, Spadoni. I'm like, who's this Kyrie? And I got to say this about Kyrie Irving. His microphone game has been special all throughout the playoffs. He's been saying everything correct. Did you catch him at the end? I thought the fans would be louder.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what are you doing, son? That's not what you, and again, you're not going against that crowd, but in a sense you are, because that was your 11th straight loss to Boston since you dipped out.
Yeah. I mean, and then these guys don't get other guys involved. I mean, Luka had one assist.
Well, can I defend Luka? Nobody was making a shot, but you're right. He had been averaging 9.
The other key factor here is that Boston is far and away the best 3-point shooting team in the league. They made 9 more threes. They were plus 27.
But that third quarter they were missing, Larry, and Dallas got it to within single digits.
But I mean, when you're like Boston and you're raining down threes and you've got a decided advantage, that puts a lot of pressure on Dallas to be good in the other areas. Because it's hard to win a game when you're minus 27 from the three-point line. Dallas got to do a much better job at closing out on the three-point line.
I'm curious to see what Jay Kidd will do to adjust. And, you know, Jones Jr., P.J. Washington, and Gafford, they have had that against anybody, that middle on lock defensively. Boston took the lobs away. Dallas had put that into their repertoire to where they're throwing the lobs, Luka or Kyrie. They had one yesterday. Day and about 80,000 failed attempts on the lobs. So, you know, with Porzingis playing, and I was like, man, is he even going to last? He was talking about how fresh he was after the game. I mean, if he's going to be a fixture and be able to last this series, just what you said, Dallas already has a length issue in regard to not having what Boston has at the disposal. And Kyrie and Luka not being Pippen and Jordan defensively, man, Larry.
Yeah, I mean, to me, what surprised me the most about the game last night was how good Porzingis was on the defensive end. I mean, he was bothering Dallas on the defensive end. Dallas shot 2 of 11. with Porzingis as the primary defender. So, I mean, that to me was really, really surprising. And then when Dallas, you know, when Dallas made a nice little run in the third quarter, as soon as you thought, okay,
hey, man,
maybe 14-0 run. Good night. Thanks for coming. You know, I mean, Boston really answered that one run. I was watching it thinking, are they going to get, is this going to be a game at any point? Because it seems like
Boston's notorious for kind of, you know, getting out front runners. And we saw it in 2022. They were up 1-0.
Yeah.
They had a series lead 2-1 and blew it. Larry, I was like, this is the Boston I know.
Well, I also.
So kudos to them for holding on and taking game one.
Well, I thought there was a chance. First of all, the game one winner wins the final 70% of the time.
Nice stat.
So, major advantage Boston. But also, the other reason I think this is a major advantage Boston, Goo, is that this was the game Dallas had to have. Why? Because Boston was coming off like a 10-day or 11-day layoff. There was a rust factor that potentially was going to hurt Boston.
But isn't that for both teams, though?
But didn't they have more time off?
Yeah, Boston. Yeah, the Celtics did.
Yeah. So if Dallas was going to get one, it was they were going to get one in game one against a rusty Celtics team. But Celtics came out and fired in game one. So this could be a very, very quick series. I mean, I would not be surprised if this might just be a bad matchup.
Sunday
for the
Mavericks. I don't want to say, oh boy, it's a must win. But Larry, when you just said a short series, you could be right, especially if, let's just say, Sunday's game, which tips off at 5:00, is not close. I don't know if Dallas has a counter. And I'm looking at Jason Tatum, and you tell me if this is fair, because a lot of the scuttlebutt and noise was, Larry, he has to win NBA Finals MVP. Really, does he? Now, obviously, that would enhance his portfolio and his profile. But at the end of the day, step one to me is it's a team game one. Two, if he wins the finals, he can't lose, even if he didn't get finals MVP. We saw that happen with Steph, but Steph's was different because he already solidified himself to me as being Billy Badass, and it was kind of, okay, can you back that up? And LeBron was doing everything he could, but I just don't like the jackals, the streets, even guys like ourselves saying, you need to win finals MVP, and Jason Tatum looked a little... This is just me, a little overwhelmed early, but he didn't seem extra thirsty to where he was letting that get to him. And they played team ball, and Porzingis stole the show in the first quarter. And I picked Dallas in seven, Larry, to start the series. But now I'm really worried that Dallas doesn't have enough outside of Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah, I would have liked, I like Dallas as well coming into the series, but no. And as far as Tatum, you know, he kind of admitted at the post-game presser that he was a little nervous. You know, I thought that was kind of interesting that he brought that up. He said, you know, I was a little nervous, a little apprehensive, a little, uncomfortable. A lot of it's just about establishing a comfort zone. Now that they're up 1-0, maybe he settles into the series. But for Dallas, I mean, they got to pass the ball a little bit better. They had 5 assists through the first 3 quarters
of the
game.
Well, Boston's a damn good defensive team.
They are. Boston's a very good defensive team.
I mean, they got Jaylen Brown.
But that was the fewest assists in the first 3 quarters of any game in the last 3 seasons. Mm. So, I mean, it wasn't just that, you know, 5 assists through 3 quarters. It's not just a low game. It's a historically low game.
Let me ask you this, Larry. If you had to choose between, and I mean this, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who would you choose? Because before you answer, if you had to pick one, the better player.
To win the MVP or just
no, just in general, their game. Like, I don't think it's a gap like I had once thought to where Tatum was just a runaway. He's way better than Jaylen Brown. If you talk about everything and that dog that we speak of a lot of times, that Draymond Green and that, you know, that dude, I'm starting to wonder if Jaylen Brown might be, would some people choose Brown over Tatum?
I think Tatum might be the bigger talent, but then if Jaylen Brown's knee is fine, I kind of like Jaylen Brown better. I think Jaylen Brown, I think, is a better overall athlete.
Mm.
You know, better runner, better jumper, more athletic, more explosive. But he's also had that bum knee. And it's like if Jaylen Brown's knee, he's got a bunch of knee pain, I'll take Tatum. But if you give me both guys at full health, I'll take Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, the whole starting five for Boston was in double digits. Like, damn, okay. Seven dudes with multiple three-pointers. Boston's deep. We'll see if that depth is an issue. But J. Kidd, use a timeout too, Larry. I thought he was channeling his inner Phil Jackson, early on. Like, dude, call a timeout. And you still probably would have got took behind the shed. But J. Kidd and his glasses was kind of...
Seemed like he thought his team was tight because when he was talking to
you them heard
in the
that,
locker
huh?
room, and he's like, guys, let's just play basketball. Let's just play basketball. Like, maybe they were too tight for the moment, or maybe the moment was, is too big
for the only one with finals experience is him when he played J. Kidd and Kyrie.
And Kyrie, yeah. And Luka's a really young player. You know, you look at Luka and you're like, yeah, he's pretty young, right? I think he's only 25.
But he... I call him Debo on the basketball court.
He's been playing with pros since he was 15 or 16.
Because he's always hurt, Larry. You know, something they'll snag or he'll, don't run down court. And then when the ball is not complete or it came, he's reaching for something. Not hurt. I'm going to stay in the game. But Luka has a lot of Debo in him. And I was watching him last night. Like, dude, you had 100 days off. What's ailing you? But he is not healthy. But he's still a badass, and he put up 30 last night.
He's a great scorer. I mean, they have the two finishing scorers. So if Dallas
If
Dallas can get to, the 5-minute mark in a game that's anybody's ball game.
Even the fourth, Larry, the fourth.
Yeah, I mean, if they can get to the fourth in a 6-7 point game, I love their chances to finish. But that's a big if.
And I don't know if Porzingis can do this. Over the course of this series, the odds would be he can't, right? But
well, he's been out a month, though. I know.
Dude, he's just such a mismatch, man.
I know he's so talented. When you look at how many guys his size
Dallas
ever
had
been
him.
Able to
Dallas
do
had him. New York had do. Him. The Dicks.
I mean, he's very unique. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's got handle.
Speak on it.
Who's got range. Who knows how to pass?
It's the Wimby package.
Yeah.
But Wimby will be on him on steroids, but it's that. And that was on display. And he kind of was quiet the rest of the game. But what you just talked about defensively, who was that? Hardy tried to flush on him. Like, he stole the show. And I hate to do this, Larry. It's not about NBA Finals MVP, but for the sake of this discussion, it's one game, four quarters. Porzingis, you're in the lead. Could you imagine?
The
unicorn.
When you think you're taking on a Dallas team or you're taking on a Boston team and they've got Tatum and they've got Brown and they've got their backcourts playing well. And then all of a sudden you think you've got a good handle on what they're going to bring you in game one. And then they bust out 7-3 Porzingis.
Oh, man.
And he starts raining down shots and blocking shots and being a factor on both ends. Once that gave Dallas a tremendous lift.
Yeah.
Or that gave Boston a tremendous lift.
And again, not to be redundant, but outside of Kyrie and Luka, who can they throw the ball to be like, go get yours. I'll be over here. Go get you. They don't have that.
They really don't.
And that's why I'm like Hardaway Jr. And I know he had 8 minutes in garbage time, but you got to run him out there, J.K.
He's got to be a bigger factor. Hardaway's kid's got to be a bigger factor. I mean, Dallas, you're right. I mean, think about it. They've got Luka and they've got Kyrie, and then who is their third scorer?
It's by committee, and that's never a good thing.
It's Lively. It's anybody at the rim. But I mean, the rest of that Dallas team gets caught watching Kyrie and Luka.
And I get that. Now, you had brought something up before we get to the break here, Larry. If you're Steph Curry, how are you watching that game? If you're Joe Lacob or Steve Kerr, and you're looking at Boston and Dallas, let's just focus in on Dallas because they're in the West. Larry, I'm sorry, and I could be dreaming here, Martin Luther King, but if Jimmy Butler becomes available or a dude of that caliber, I'm sorry. And we talked about it with the Giants. I would say, Kuminga, you're probably going to be great, but it's going to be somewhere else. I feel like I owe Steph Curry and Draymond, if I could somehow pull off a trade to where I could get Curry and Dre, a guy like Jimmy Butler who's done it and single-handedly dragged his team to the finals, not won it, but a dog that I would do it, Larry. That's where I'm at.
First of all, he makes $51 million.
That's a problem.
So
that's
you're
a problem.
Have to throw all kinds of players at them. So then what's your team going to look like? Then you're talking about a guy who's in his mid-30s, right? So what if all of a sudden you make this trade and Warriors get off to a kind of a questionable start and don't look good early in the year, and now you've driven your franchise off a cliff. What I would want to know...
Well, aren't you going off a cliff even when Curry retires or Kerr's out of here in 2 years?
Here's the question.
You know what I mean?
Do you... You don't have a lot of assets. You don't even have a first-round pick.
Oh.
Okay, so you don't have a first-round pick. You don't have a lot of assets to trade. What assets do you have? Kuminga, Pajemski, Trace Jackson Davis, Moses Moody, and you've got a couple other contracts you could throw in there, but those are your four young guys that are your assets. You also have two or three future number ones you could trade, but they don't have a number one this year. So, I mean, if you trade all those assets and you get Jimmy Butler, and you probably would have to throw almost every asset you have to get him, and you don't win. Now,
wouldn't you sleep better at night knowing that you did Curry right by trying, Larry? That's what it's about.
My big question is, what do you think's Joe's motivating factor? Is his priority to try to get Steph one more ring?
Number five.
Or is his priority to keep people going through the turnstiles in 2026, 2027?
Well, you're
going to
do that with Curry regardless, right? That I believe.
But I'm just saying, it's like if you go for Jimmy Butler and it doesn't work out.
Or Carl Anthony Towns.
Carl Anthony Towns is 28, though, isn't he?
No, well, I like him. I think his game fits perfect with the Warriors.
I'm just a little skeptical about going for somebody in his mid-30s.
Well, Larry, then that's Paul George is off the hook.
I don't like the idea of Paul George.
So do you have
I'd rather go for like a Lauri Markkanen.
Somebody,
right. You know, if I could find somebody younger.
Would you give up Kuminga for, well, you would have
I
to.
I would for Lauri Markkanen.
Man, yeah, I like him. He just can't stay healthy.
I like Kuminga a lot.
Yeah.
And Danny Ainge wins most trades. So, he's going to want everything. I get, at the end of the day, I'd rather stay with Trace Jackson Davis, Kuminga, Pajemski, and stay with this other unit and do the best I can.
Larry, you did that and didn't make the playoffs. I'm not blaming them, and didn't make it.
Okay, but
not blaming them.
What are your other options are to trade away all your assets and try to win this year with Jimmy Butler? I mean, adding Jimmy Butler, who's pretty volatile, to Draymond Green, who's very volatile. That doesn't seem like a slam dunk to me.
Yeah,
that
seems on the other like side, Larry, I got you. We'll continue it and also get your thoughts from camp because you were out there all week. That segment was sponsored by Safeway.